Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shop Talk Show. As you know, we are sponsored by things. We have two lovely sponsors this week. One of them is Lynda.com. How do we say that, Dave?
L-Y-N-D-A.com.
Nice. Getting better. Challenge yourself to learn something new with a 10-day free trial. That's go to lynda.com, lynda.com/shoptalk. That's how you get your 10-day free trial, which gives you access to, I believe they have over 4,000. It was like 4,100 some different courses on lynda.com, which is just amazing. We'll tell you more about that later in the show. Also, Environments for Humans have upcoming an SVG Summit. How exciting is that? It's literally svgsummit.com will get you there. It's coming up January 21st. I'm going to be speaking at it. I think I'm going to be closing up the thing with kind of a round table, showing you cool random stuff, doing Q&A, just kind of closing off the day. I'm very much looking forward to that. That is the svgsummit.com. How about we, kick off the show? Booted it.
Is the season to be jolly for la 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 la.
That's our official.
What? I'm jolly. This is the final episode of 2015, Chris. I'm Dave Rupert. Chris Coyer, who do we got today on this exciting episode?
I've been practicing it because Stacy so generously was like, do you need help with my last name? And we're like, oh, good reminder. It's K-V-E-R-N-M-O. And Stacy says, just pronounce every letter of it. It's Stacy Cavernmo.
Very good. Cavernmo. I would say Cavernmo, but I don't really know if that's... Ta-da! Hi.
Norway.
Yeah, well, yes. Husband's
born
from...
and raised.
Yeah, well, no.
Straight out of Norway.
Stacy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, we brought you on because I just run into Stacy an awful lot at conferences and meetups and stuff. And usually that's a good signal to get somebody on the show. What do you think of yourself as? A front-end designer, developer, CMS wrangler, developer?
Man. I love job titles because they're so accurate. These days,
hold on, that's a little bit of okay.
Yes,
we're foreshadowing. Okay.
Yeah. These days, my email signature says senior UX designer. However, I also manage a team of front end developers, and I kind of like going back and forth, kind of get in the weeds, and every step from the very beginning design process all the way through all of the front end planning and development and QA. So I kind of do a little bit of everything in that range.
Okay, that's great. Senior UX designer, manage a team of front-end developers. That's pretty cool. Because you are somewhat sort of ish newish at Collegis Education. Is that right?
That is correct. I've been there, I don't know, 5 or 6 months now.
Yeah, that's not even new in tech. That's like old almost.
Yeah. Now that I kind of figured out the organization, it was just such a weird jump for me because every place I've ever worked at is like 1 to 10 people. I worked at Web Dev Studios before and there was 32 of us, which that seemed kind of huge. And then when I made the jump to Collegis, there's about 200 of us, which is crazy. Whoa. Yeah, crazy big for me.
Like at the entire company or that our front end developers?
Oh, no. We have a very small development team, but in the entire company, we offer a lot of services, including like marketing and the data analysis, SEO, all those types of services, as well as the development. And then the other half of our business does learning management systems for higher education institutions.
Right. So it says education because your clients are like universities and schools and stuff?
Yes, all of them. Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. So like, you're kind of like an agency, but pick a niche and go with it kind of thing,
absolutely,
right?
Yes.
Is that part of like the mission or, like what if a great, a great job came along, but it was like for Pepsi?
Yeah.
Just say no?
I don't know if I don't know if it was for Pepsi and they wanted to. I don't know what everyone would say. I think it's a great opportunity. But if some Joe Schmo came along, we probably would not. We'd probably refer him to somebody else.
Right, right, right. I just think that's kind of interesting, you know? It's like it probably is. It's smart to, you know, another niche that you could pick is to be, for example, a WordPress design studio. And clearly people have success with that too, because then you know the problems, you know the software, you know. And maybe that's the case here with education. You kind of, you know some stuff about education, so leverage it.
Yeah, I think there's definite advantages to focusing on one group. I think that it's, I've always wondered what it would be like to be like an in-house designer. So I feel like this is like a little bit one step away from that, where you have the same types of clients, but every site we do and every project looks different. So it's still, you have the variation in creativity, but you really get to know the market. I think it's interesting how, and it's the first time I've ever been somewhere focused. But like you said, the WordPress development agency, that's where I was before, but we still had clients in various markets. So it was, yes, it was the same tools and technology, but it was, you know, communicating a message to a different group.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing that was in common between projects was WordPress. But other than that, it was whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep. When you pick a niche like education, do you find that the kind of needs of the clients are similar, so you don't have to redo all the IA and UX, and you can kind of like just, you know, already what patterns work in a general context? Or do you kind of find yourself kind of, for every client,
well, sort of
boiling the ocean?
Sort of, because depending on which partner we're working with, some of them are focused on a non-traditional student. Some of them are trying to get enrollment from people right out of high school. So there's somewhat different targets for each client and each project. And we also work with a grad school. So there's different ways to communicate to the audience, but we have a lot of data that we just know about each type of student that we can apply. But I think every project is still unique. And we always start with that how are we going to structure this? What makes sense for our users? How can we accomplish the business goals without sacrificing the needs of the mobile user or whatever? So I think there are some consistencies in our data, but we still kind of start from scratch in how we're going to approach each project.
It's very interesting what you said about there's a spectrum, perhaps, that's I don't think is talked about enough, really, or at least not in my miniature circles, which is that you can work somewhere in-house and work on the same thing for a long period of time, which is kind of what happens if you're like a designer at like a startup, or you're, you know, or it doesn't even have to be a startup, but established company or something. Like if you're a designer at Pepsi, you work on Pepsi stuff. And then there's the other side, which is completely client services, which I guess is kind of closer to what Dave does. But you know, some people are, they have a new project every week that they're working on, or two projects a week, right? Which is completely the other side, that you don't really have any stake in what you're building, other than it's an hourly job and you're kind of knocking it out. And then maybe you're feeling like you're kind of in the middle where that's interesting. I wonder if there's, I don't know, if are people, you know, kind of born to do some, to find their point on that spectrum and do that work?
I don't know. Like before, I always said that I came from a bunch of small agencies where we would work on all sorts of industries and all different types of projects. And I said, I never want to be an in-house designer. And then lately I'm like, that might be interesting, because I think you'd have a bigger say in the end result of your product, and you'd probably have the timelines you need to finish each thing. And I feel like the resourcing for that and the amount of focus would be a lot more, I don't know. It could be a really nice payoff in the end to see something you've built. Probably what you experience on CodePen, it's like your baby. Like you can see all these things like carry through, and you don't have like a set group of other clients depending on you to get something done for their launch on Black Friday or whatever. So
you definitely see that. You see the other side of it, certainly. See the, like, if I do this work, then hopefully good things happen and I get to see that. I definitely have heard designers express the fact, well, we did this big long project, maybe we're even on it for 6 months, and I felt so strongly about it, but then it was done and then we built for it and shipped it and I never really saw it again. There's no follow-up meetings to discuss how how it did or anything. It's just kind of gone.
And yeah. Yeah, I'll go to websites I've done just to see like what's new or see if they've completely redone them. I went to one from 2006 yesterday, and it's exactly the same. I'm like, oh boy, that's good or
how
terrible.
How does that feel? Does it feel right? It must be like, oh cool, at least my work is here, and I can still like click around and kind of remember what it was like working on this site. But also, ooh, it's a little sad that it hasn't moved.
I know.
Oh. We had a really like just a portfolio piece we loved just disappear because of like somebody not paying a bandwidth bill or something, and it just like just gone. And so they switched it to like WordPress with 2015 theme, and it was just like such a just tears of like, oh, it's gone, it's like gone forever, gone, it's gone. Oh, I'm so sad.
Hope you have screenshots.
I know, videos, and but you know, it's like when you made it, you know, all screens were like 600 by 800 by 600, so you have this little thumbnail now to remember it by.
Yeah, I stumbled upon my very, very, very first portfolio site that I probably did in like 2002, and it's Flash, and it's about, I think, 400 or 600 by 400 pixels. It's so tiny.
I need, I have this awesome monitor, by the way, which could segue into our holiday gift guide of this year, but it's 3440 by 1440 or something pixels. It's beautiful. And I wonder if I should get a second one just for vertical screenshots of websites. Then I would have them forever.
You can use an extension for that.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Stacey Cavernmo, which is the name of your website as well, or is /Stacey. Nice grab on CodePen. CodePen.io/Stacey.
No, nice. It's Stacey Cavernmo. I am not Stacey.
No way.
Yeah, I used to be Fun Stacey, and that was just a terrible name, so I switched it a little bit ago. So you guys have to learn my last name.
It must be still cached. Because if you go to /Stacey right now, it brings you up.
No way. That would be amazing. It does. No, it doesn't. That's not me.
Oh, that's not you? It says Illinois.
Oh, mine doesn't. Mine says gamer. That's not me.
Whoa, there is some, might be a few bugs to work out here on this.
Whoops.
Okay, well, I'm confused now. Okay. Anyway, it's kind of fun when you before the show and you're like, I know exactly what we can talk about, but you like click around of links forever about the guests you're going to talk to, see if there's anything interesting to bring up, and you're just clicking around, and then you're like, oh, he's got an Instagram, I should go through that, which is pretty fascinating. There's one of you in and you dressed up as A/B testing.
Yay!
For Halloween.
Yes, I had to explain that to about 99% of the people, so I'm really glad you got that right away.
I think that's pretty funny. A bee, get it? So she's dressed up as a bee, like a bee. Oh, okay, that was pretty solid. Pretty solid. So you've been involved with WordPress for a while. You gave a talk at a big WordCamp at one time, right? There's a WordPress.tv video of that available. What's the deal with WordPress? Did you get involved early, or did you just kind of like it, or like?
I actually listened or watched your CSS Tricks screencast in like, I don't know, 2008 about WordPress. And ever since then, I just thought, oh, that's a really good idea. At the time, I think I was using Adobe Contribute to teach clients how to update their site with like something slightly better than, was it PageMaker? What was that thing? FrontPage, Microsoft FrontPage. So I knew that wasn't going to be a great long-term solution. And then when I saw the screencast, I'm like, wow, this thing actually exists and it's free and it seems kind of easy to use. So ever since 2009, I haven't built a site on anything else other than WordPress until I just got the new job at Collegis Education. However...
Wow, so yeah, you were in deep.
Yes, I was. I haven't really contributed to like... track or finding a patch or anything. I feel like it's really confusing, and I'd love to redesign that screen. But otherwise, at WDS, we often had like a few hours each week to give back. So I host a WordPress meetup group in Naperville, if anyone is interested in joining. And I try to go to the different WordCamps in the areas. I spoke at WordCamp Chicago kind of on a whim last year, and then WordCamp Milwaukee. I was going to apply to WordCamp Chicago this year, but it never actually happened. So that's a mystery. Oh. Yeah, maybe next year.
Did you follow this like WordPress release with some interest? The thing where the WordPress.com admin is all 100% different.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were saying there was like this graphic that that was like, you know, what's kind of the true story of this thing is a lot deeper than just it's a new UI. It's like a whole new tech stack, but also the tech stack, or also like the team meets on a more regular schedule, and the technology they use to talk is a little more modernized, and it's just straight up on GitHub. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's it. That's the only place it lives. So isn't that will make it easier for people to
contribute? Oh, 100%.
It certainly would to me, yeah. Right?
And they even did 2016 on GitHub too, which I've already forked and started to turn it into a SAS-based theme instead of just vanilla CSS, which I think is great for the people who want to write CSS. But I don't think there's any reason to not have SAS in there. If you want to use it, you can, you know, it's an option.
Oh, nice. So you're going to have the fork of the SAS-based version of 2016?
Yes. On my GitHub page. Nice. I haven't submitted like a pull request. Even if I do, I don't think they would be willing to merge it. But you never know.
Yeah, maybe. That's weird because isn't core on SAS? So, but yeah. They just have different opinions about what the public themes should be, probably.
Yeah, and how it handles media queries might be a little different than what they currently have. So I'm going to try to make sure it compiles to as close as possible to what they have, and we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'll get it in there. Otherwise, it will just be on my page.
I always kind of wonder, like, what's up with the yearly themes that they put out? Are they, like, very highly used? Or are they? I always thought they're like a little more complicated than I wish they were. Like, it's been a long time since I've, like, forked one of the yearly releases and, like, used that as a starting theme for a WordPress thing. Because I always think it's like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
That's too complicated. I want to use something more minimal.
Yeah, I haven't ever used a theme, but I should prefix that with I don't ever update my own website. So, but I do a lot of client work, and I typically start with just a starter theme. One that Automatic put out was underscores, and then at the company I used to work at, WDS, has their own version of underscores that they are constantly updating and maintaining and adding new features and using both Grunt and Post CSS. I know that's a fun little controversy, but it's so fast. You compile anything, it just everything is great, and they're so worried about accessibility. So all those checks are in there. So I usually start with that whenever I start with the theme, and keep my eye on that. And the 2016 thing, I'm just doing because I would like to give back somehow. And I thought if people do use that, maybe they would like a SaaS-based version of it.
Oh, yeah, I bet they would indeed. It'll be interesting to see what the, like, how, if, is it going to be easy to maintain or not, or what? Like, if somebody pushes a change to the, like, canonical version and they push a CSS change, then I guess you kind of just got to watch that.
Yeah.
Port their
I mean, that's the same thing that happened with the WD underscores. That's what they named it. WDS, they're version of SAS underscores.
Oh, they had to watch the real.
So we would always have to like merge in their changes and make sure everything was still compatible. But yeah, it was. We'd often every like month or so just make sure we get up to date.
It looks like underscores is SAS. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that was also because I think they might have merged one of our pull requests.
Oh, nice. So it's a, is it a Grunt thing? It doesn't look like it. That's weird. I wonder what they suggest for compiling. I guess I could read. I don't have to sit here and read readmes
so
on the radio. This makes for great radio. Okay. Well, that's some WordPress stuff. Anything come to mind, Dave?
Well, I wanted to alert our listeners of our 2015 holiday gift guide, shoptalkshow.com/2015-gift-guide, where you can purchase some gifts that Chris and I handpicked for the web developer in your life There's things like subscriptions to CodePen Pro, subscriptions to Green Sock Club, or Club Green Sock, t-shirts for Shop Talk, which, you know, people are going to like walk up to you on the street and say, hey, do you like Fart Sound Podcast? Yes, I do. Let's be friends forever. Yes, that sounds great. Guaranteed to happen. Head on over to shoptalkshow.com/2015-gift-guide and get something nice today. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's some self-promotional stuff in there, guilty, but there's, you know, there's stuff that we've talked about on the show a number of times that it's kind of nice to have a place, a kind of a recommendation list for, you know, like the Kensington Wireless Presenter. Like if you're going to give a talk, that thing's like amazing. And now there's a link to it and you can find it on there. And the keyboard that both me and Dave kind of swear by is on there too. And I don't know. It was just kind of a fun thing to do.
When maybe I'll add to it. Maybe we'll just build it out, or I don't know. Or maybe we'll wait till next year. But it's kind of fun to have.
Well, we got to play with SVG. We tried to put it in WordPress, and then we're like, oh, screw it. Like, not that it was too hard to put in WordPress, but we're actually having some troubles with the WordPress site, kind of 500 airing and stuff. I think we're closing in on the Y, but it's been a kind of persistent pain in our butts.
We've had we're exhausting memory somehow over and over and over. So, whoops.
I think we figured it out why, though, and it has to do with WP e-commerce. And it's not that plugin is busted because I use it in other sites and it's fine. But it has like there's like millions and millions and millions of entries in like that are tracking, like visitor tracking through that plugin. And then it has a cron job that runs to clear those out because it doesn't need to hold on to them, but it's failing. So the database is bloating and it can't run that job. It keeps trying to run the job and failing. That's the kind of thing that's like just impossible to diagnose, I feel like. And thank God there are people that do that work, because that's just not my favorite thing.
And I was going to mention some errors and omissions. I forget which episode we were talking about responsive images. I think it was the Drew McClellan episode, and Jen Simmons on Twitter was upset with us, which is fair, that we did not, we made it sound like responsive images doesn't work in every browser just because the picture element is only supported in a few. But she pointed out that the source set and W descriptors are kind of in a lot of different browsers, like most of them. So it has pretty good support. And she recommended you listen to episode 99, I believe it was, of the Web Ahead with Jason Grigsby. So go check that out and learn more than us about responsive images. So
yeah, absolutely, that is important stuff. Oh, and that's related to WordPress recently too. This is another 4. Random 4. Thing that dropped. Yeah, good stuff, isn't it? So you basically don't have a choice. As soon as you upgrade to 4.4, you just have responsive images now. It just automatically does its thing. You just do nothing and you have responsive images. I think is a very big deal. And the way that it works, it didn't really sink in to me, even though I was a little slightly involved with it, was that it looks through the content of your posts and finds what are images that were obviously uploaded through the media uploader, meaning that it has multiple versions of them that it can find, because that's kind of the point of what responsive images does. And then it puts in the source set attribute automatically for you.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about that, because I'm like, I really need this to get this going on CSS Tricks. I've needed to get it going forever. And I don't really want to, I don't want to like write, you know, like regexes and stuff to find it all myself and update my code in the database and stuff. Like, it's not that I don't want to, it's just I'm a little scared of it. And I'm, you know, I'm like, this problem will get solved in time. And it has. The only problem is the thing that it looks for in the content is not present on my images, because I have custom code that kind of, because what I like is when I insert an image into a blog post, I like to wrap it in figure tags so I can use the fig caption. And so I have kind of custom code so that when I insert a post, it comes with all that stuff automatically when I use the thing. But I have somehow removed the class in doing that, that is the thing that it looks for. So now I'm in that position again where I need to write a little plugin, or somebody can help me write a plugin that will adjust what WordPress looks for, so and have it still work its little source set magic thing.
Wow.
Whoops.
That sounds like a big project.
I hope it's not so bad. I hope there's a little hook I can use to just be like, oh, you know how you look for this string? Look for this string also. I don't know. I hope it's easy. We have Stacy here, who knows a ton about responsive design and SaaS and WordPress and stuff. And we have questions along those lines that I feel like we should get to, which we'll do in just a second. But also, the show sponsored by lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com. They have so many courses. I was just looking. It was 4,100 some courses on there, which is amazing. They're broken down into so many different kinds of things. You know, they even have documentaries on there. Like, you know, that that Helvetica documentary that was so awesome that people watch, and Objectified by the same creators. Those are just on lynda.com. So if you like, you know, if you were going to buy and watch those anyway, you can just watch them on lynda.com if you'd like to. So that would be, you know, even if you're just going to buy and watch those two, that's more expensive than just signing up for Lynda and watching them through there anyway, which I think is kind of fascinating. There's that like super amazing Aaron Fraplin video on there where he it talks about logo design, which is really cool. There's like 105 just documentaries on lynda.com, which I think is kind of fascinating. I was just looking up ones because I'm trying to bone up a little bit on Angular 2. Did you see the Angular 2 beta just dropped, which people are pretty excited about? We need to kind of figure out exactly how we're going to handle it on CodePen, because it's a little weird. Like, it's in TypeScript too, and you got to like link up a proper TypeScript configuration file thing. I'm like, I really got to bone up on this stuff. I was looking at all their Angular stuff on lynda.com. They have an Angular and WordPress course. A guy named Roy Sivan, who I don't know, but I'm sure you're a great guy, Roy, hello, who has a page called Building a Single Page App with WordPress, but it also uses the REST API, and I think that's kind of dropped in 4.4 too, right? Or at least part of it did? I don't know.
I think that's a big part of the, or maybe that was 4.3. Am I crazy? Like, oh, a maybe. Jetpacky thing?
Yeah, but anyway, like, this is like, it's about, you know, using that to give you JSON and then having Angular digest the JSON. So you can have a WordPress powered site, but it's like a single page app through AngularJS. That's just a course that's just sitting here on lynda.com, available to you along with all the rest of their courses if you sign up for it. That's lynda.com/shoptalk. Let's do some questions. How about it? Pick one, Dave.
Brandon S. writes in, responsive line breaks, exclamation point. I work in a shop where widows and orphans are despised. I can dig it. It looks better to have a few more words wrapped to the next line. Generally, in this case, I am asked to code a line break for mobile, so I will put in a BR with media query rules applied, to probably show hide that BR, which is clever. Then I will take a shower because I feel like I will never be clean again. Am I overreacting? Brandon?
Have you ever high showed a BR element?
Oh, I have.
Stacey? You know, I've seen that done. I think it's a little hacky. What happens if you actually want a BR to function as a BR in certain breakpoints and you're hiding it? Yeah. It just seems like you're going to run into trouble one day, unless you have like a one page website and you're the only person that ever works on it. I know Dan Mall wrote an article about a few techniques. I think one of them was the BR display block or none. And then there's another one with the span. Like, what did he do? Like display in line versus display block. It played with the display property again, I believe. That might be a little cleaner, so you're not just completely hiding the BR. But again, it doesn't, you know, if you, it was actually, if you do need a BR tag to act as a BR, then that's not going to work either. So I would say your best solution is to write more content or
just throw
which,
a couple extra
which
words
won't
there.
Work at all screen sizes, but maybe it could break at like that in-between screen size that like maybe not as many people view it on. Yeah, totally not a good answer. How about you guys?
Well, you can throw a class name on the BR, so you don't have to like hide and show like all BRs or anything.
That's true.
You know, you could have BR class equal, and I absolutely have a couple of circumstances that I do this on CodePen, but I don't use it in like a paragraph. I use it. I have like two buttons that are sitting right next to each other that I don't necessarily want to like display block at mobile size, but I want, they're too awkward to be next to each other on mobile, so I want one on top of each other on mobile. And there's probably different ways that you could approach this, but I just put a BR class, and I call it class equals mobile break between the two buttons. That's hidden normally, so they sit side by side, but then on mobile I show the break tag actually, and it breaks the buttons down onto the next line, which I don't know, it does feel a little hacky. I didn't take a shower. but yeah, it's a little weird. And remember, Brandon, if you're doing this in the context of paragraphs, and all you want is to make sure that you don't have you never have like one word at the end, my usual tactic is to just always throw a non-breaking space instead of a regular space between the last two words, and then they'll always be together, you know?
Yeah. That's what we do. Is the and NBSP, like, yeah, to join two words, right. And it'll wrap. They'll wrap together.
There's a WordPress plugin for it, if that's the case, or you know, if you don't like that, seeing that in your markup, then write something that processes it elsewise. You know, I wouldn't doubt that there's a grunt task for it, or you know, whatever kind of is the step between your authored code and the final code. There's usually some kind of tool that will do that for you.
I think Sean Inman called it WIDON'T.
WIDON'T,
like, yeah. WIDON'T. And so if you search for like WIDON'T JavaScript, I think people have done it in JavaScript too.
And that only did it for the title, I think, which makes more sense because usually at the end of the paragraphs, it's like a little bit less of a big deal, but it's really awkward when it's like, you know, 36 point type or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I understand that. I think educating people on the fact that type flows is also super
important. Yeah, it's not print.
Yeah. But satiate their rage with something like WIDON'T or whatever.
This is an interesting one here that I thought we could elaborate on. Maybe it's worth a blog post at some point because we definitely have mentioned it several times. So Reese Clay writes in, I've heard you quickly mention lazy loading images on an episode and how it doesn't really work. Can you elaborate? I'm using Blazy and it really helps on media intensive sites. For example, on a product archive, I will lazy load all the thumbnails outside of the initial view, but set an offset of say 900 pixels so the user never sees the image loading. I can see from the network tab in Firefox that this reduces the initial page load significantly. What are some lazy loading best practices? Dave, I've definitely heard you kind of be annoyed with lazy loading images in the past. It's a common technique even today. I'm sure a lot of us have been to Medium articles and they have their own special kind of lazy loading and stuff. What I thought maybe we could talk for a moment about, have you ever been to a site and been annoyed by it? And what is the thing that's annoying about lazy loading images?
So, okay, so lazy loading is basically like you have a blank.gif, right? And then it's like on some scroll and there's some pixel threshold that it hits. And if the image is it within this, like, you know, 200, 300 pixels of entering the viewport, it will, the JavaScript will fire and it will swap the image source for a real image source. And then your image will come in and maybe you can add like a little fading effect or something. Is that that? Does that describe it? And that's lazy loading. And the problem is, it's just what I've noticed in my day-to-day, like browsing on like a tablet or even a phone, is just I never see those images. It's like I'm at the bottom of the article and there's like a big gray box and it's like, is that so, something ever going to show up here?
One of the best practices is don't have it fail entirely.
Yeah, that would be a best practice is like rigorous testing. But there's like there's like, I mean, the first thing I did was like you look for like Blazy broken, you know, image in Bootstrap modal does not load. Blazy doesn't work on Angular NG repeat. Like it's just like there's like like that calculation just seems so easy because it works so great on desktop, but then like it fails on mobile and it fails like cross device all the time. And like everyone, you know, somebody's going to crack it eventually, but it just, I don't know. It's like, there is like a huge performance gain. Like if you're like saying like, hey, images don't load until way like super later.
So done perfectly, you'd say it's a pretty good tactic, but it's so easy to screw up. Is the
I think it's a good tactic, and I use it on the many faces of. But yeah, it's like, I mean, it takes about 2 minutes until a tweet shows up, like pretty cool site, but the images don't load. Yeah. And you're like, oh man.
So then there's the fact that it's blank.gif to begin with means that if JavaScript doesn't load, that's what you get then, you know? Like you'd think that whatever the pattern is that they use, or like let's say, you know, you're digesting this site to use elsewhere, like it spits out JSON or something. Is the image in question then blank.gif? That's pretty useful. Or you read the site via RSS. Is that handled in a particularly nice way. You know, is the JavaScript didn't load situation a bummer? I don't know. There's plenty. We could make a whole list. I think it would be kind of an interesting blog post. Like, if you're going to lazy load, then.
I think like Matt Wilto Marquis once said, it's like, if your alt text says horse, it better be a picture of a horse, you know, like,
right.
And that's maybe being like super purist about the document, like the document should always be the one true source of knowledge and truth, and JavaScript should never, ever touch it. But for me, I don't want to rely on JavaScript just to lazy load an image, you know? So I kind of just like, I'm just going to let the browser do the browser thing, and they need to give me a lazy load attribute because I know when I want to lazy load images. But
have you ever messed with the lazy loading world, Stacey?
Not personally. I would normally let other people handle that. But I mean, I'm in that same camp that if it doesn't work, then maybe you can increase performance elsewhere and spend time somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think binding to scroll is like notoriously.
Well, that's another one too, is now we're thinking about window on scroll, which is always like,
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, if they resize the viewport, then is your on scroll actually work anymore? Did you recalculate everything?
Okay, let's do another one. We got Hannah Baruden. There it is.
Yes, it's an audio question.
Which I could move on and we could come back to if you don't have it ready to go.
Oh, I have it totally ready. I just need to click some buttons and stall really nicely using words from my...
I could...
Have a holly bells, jolly holidays. Okay, here we go.
Hello, Shop Talk Show. I currently work as a full-time engineer, but before that, I spent several years working in theater. I even got a minor for it in school. Outside of my current job, I still do a fair amount of web work for performer friends and arts organizations. Needless to say, these are all awesome people, but not necessarily the most tech savvy. WordPress is my go-to CMS, and I do my best to customize the dashboard for their needs. Some of these changes are to visually tailor the dashboard to their organization with stuff like a custom login page and tweaked iconography. And other changes are to address their level of tech comfort by, say, hiding the settings menu, and otherwise removing users' chances of breaking their site. To that end, I end up using plugins like Advanced Custom Forms, Custom Post Type UI, White Label CMS, and my favorite, Adminimize, to control what non-admin users see and how they edit content without getting my hands too dirty in the functions.php file. My question is, do either of you or other listeners have other tried and true plugins or different strategies for fine-tuning the WordPress dashboard? Thanks. Love the show.
Ah, good question.
Must have come up for you, Stacey, at some point. Yeah, all the WordPress work you've done.
Absolutely. I used to customize it, back in like 2010 or so. And I listened to, I think it was a talk by Jake Goldman, who did a WordCamp Chicago talk on it. And I've always just done everything custom. I do know there's plenty of plugins that will do it.
So you mean custom, you're like, I'm going to apply a custom style sheet and I'm just going to like display none stuff?
Yeah, well, it was more like, okay, let's just add the company's logo, the color scheme, and then maybe provide extra help items in the little screen options menu. It was never like, let's make this not look like WordPress at all, because the cost involved with that, I don't know if it always the benefit, but what Hannah was saying is like she wants to make sure like the admin menu shows only the items that are relevant to that user and their roles and maybe to be able to hide stuff. I have used a plugin for showing and hiding some of those menu items, but let me see if I can even figure that out.
Well, I'd say that, you know, the first place you want to go maybe is just make sure that you're looking at the admin menu as they see it based on the role that you give them. So it's fairly easy to just make someone say an editor and then log in as them. And that's a pretty useful plugin, that one where you can just one click log in as somebody else and then one click to change back to yourself. That's pretty useful. But realize that the different roles that you have in WordPress do kind of control what the admin looks like. So there may be just by changing their role, it probably hides a bunch of stuff. Like they're not going to see the plugins menu, for example, if their role is editor already. So I don't know that you need to like go in and start hiding that stuff and stuff with special plugins. It's only if you're doing something that you need to, say, leave them as an admin role, but you still don't want to, you know, like, I don't know. First, see if the default roles will work for you is what I'm
There's also, if you're using a premium theme, sometimes they add extra things to the menu, which aren't available to hide, depending on your user role. So that's always an issue too. So if you have a theme that, like, say, has a portfolio and your site's not using portfolio, well, there's not an easy way to hide that top level portfolio item with some of the plugins available. So that's always kind of a pain.
And you definitely can apply a custom style sheet. That probably wouldn't be too hard. And then display none is always your friend in CSS and changing colors and stuff. So that's kind of interesting. It does kind of seem like a losing battle to me a little bit, or like this is a pretty high level value add. You know, to be like, is there some option where you can just, like, I don't know, train people correctly? And what's kind of going on?
I was going to say there are plugins. I'm struggling to find one, like find the name, but there were like.
Well, Hannah says her favorite is Adminize. Is that where you're going with this?
Or that one's like a remove options for people, which I love because that's like a progressive disclosure almost. Like, you, if they can't do it, just don't even show it because they can't do it, or like kind of start hiding things. But there's like ones where it's like learn WordPress inside like
oh, right. show
WP up on the dashboard. 101, I think, has that.
WP 101. Yeah. Plugin? Like, I've seen some, and I wish I could like throw them like whatever Shop Talk love bit, because I forget who what the name of the product is. But it's cool. Like, I feel like that's empowering the user. Like, if they want to learn more, if they're stuck and they feel mad, like give them the power to kind of like learn. Yeah, WP 101 is one, and that'll just like that makes people like feel like they can. Learn. They're not helpless. They don't have to call you for everything. I think that's good.
This both makes me nervous. It most is like really cool and makes me nervous. I'm like really conflicted about
the idea of. I would rather just not do that and train them. And you can even we've often made our own screencasts that can be available from the dashboard. So if you do have custom features in the theme that you're using, WP 101 will cover the basics of WordPress and what it gives you out of the box. But if you have some custom features you also want to go over, that might be an option. Yeah, it really depends on the budget and how important that is. I'd rather not keep maintaining plugins and keep adding plugins just to hide something from one of the admin or the editors.
I do enjoy how Advanced Custom Fields allows you to not only add a custom field, but give you a bunch of help text too. So I could imagine setting up that would be pretty fun. You know, like, okay, this is the subtitle field. And, you know, I'm not just going to just let it sit there. I'm going to explain very clearly what we expect from you to go into that. Or here's a date field, or here's a time field. But, you know, reminder, you know, that should be between this time and this time, and it's in the Eastern time zone, we're putting it here and stuff. I would think just setting things up like that would be pretty useful. Anyway, good luck, Hannah. That was an excellent question and nice audio quality on the recording.
That's, really appreciate that an audio podcast.
Good luck. And as a matter of fact, if you have any screenshots of interesting things that you've done with the backend admin, that would be very interesting. I'm sure lots of people are interested in this topic, because it seems like it comes up every once in a while. So we have another audio one here from Mitchell.
Hey, I have a WordPress related question. I started doing WordPress projects a few years ago and I've learned them more and more. I started by just hacking a bot theme and using the child theme to customize everything to my liking. This is great because I don't have to invent the wheel every time I start a new project. But using a theme these days is getting more in the way. Now I'm looking for a new starting point to build my websites on. I think I'm not skilled enough to roll my own team and build everything from the ground up. I've used roots.io in the past, but this has grown to something I don't recognize anymore. I know there are a few frameworks out there, but what do you guys recommend?
Maybe you've already covered this, but Stacey, you got a starter?
My favorite starter is WD underscore S or underscores, but it is pretty bare bones. It's that fork of just plain underscores, which kind of has like your normalize and all your SAS partials set up, but not much styling applied, just the accessibility stuff and how the, and it has your grunt file and stuff. So it has the tasks to go, you know, make the SVGs all into one sprite and all that stuff. I don't know. He said he wasn't sure. He wasn't as technically adventurous, paraphrasing. I don't know if that would be a good starter theme, but I mean, you can certainly check it out and see if you want to give it a test drive.
I would, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you may not be aware of underscores at all. And I just looked at it and it does look pretty solid. And then your fork, I'm sure, is even better or whatever. So if you haven't heard of that, Mitchell, check it out. It does seem kind of like, I know exactly what you mean. I'm so sympathetic to this. You know, there's this point in the question where Mitchell said, I've used roots.io in the past, but it has grown into something I don't understand anymore. Isn't that interesting? Like even your, you know, this has come up in this show where you're like, I'm going to take 2016 and I'm going to add SAS to it. I would look at that and be like, oh, awesome. That actually makes it easier for me to work with. But there's other people out there, certainly, that, you know, they just don't like SAS or they prefer a different one or they're just like screw preprocessors entirely. That's still a debate for sure going on. So, and you've just added one thing, but now I'm looking at roots.io here. I've never heard of this. I'm sure it's very, very great for some people, but it's like, okay, there's these three icons and they're all these things. Roots is all these things combined. It's their WordPress starter theme, which I see depends on Gulp and Bower and uses Bootstrap as part of the theme. So that's quite a few dependencies already. And then it has this thing called Bedrock, which is a project boiler part that uses something called Composer and .env, and then Trellis is involved, which is a LEMP stack, which is Vagrant, Ansible, Nginx, and it's like, okay, I can clearly see that this has grown up into like a thing. And if all of those words were more music to your ears, then I'm sure this is amazing for you. But there's a large step to get into this. It is if you're not familiar with these things, it's actually a turnoff.
I think it's pretty simple to start with one of the WordPress default themes and customize it. They have very clean code and it's very well commented. So that may be another option. I know back in 2012, I would take 2012 and 2011 and completely redo all of the styles to make it look like a completely separate theme. And you would never know it was a child theme of 2012 or whatnot.
I think we started the Shop Talk site with Bones, which is another one. I forget what's the URL. Themebowl.com/bones. It's like just a kind of a naked, you know, get started WordPress theme. And it was good, but kind of like I felt that pressure, you know, you get going and then you're just like, I hate all this. I'm going to rip it all out. You know, like you just like, you can't help yourself from like just trying to strip everything out of it. So it may even just be good to learn how to make it yourself. Like, figure out like how do I make the simplest theme possible and then commit that to get
so many people have gone down this road. I remember back in the day Elliot J. Stocks had one called Starkers that people would mm-hmm. use. I maintained one for a little while. Sometimes they're called naked themes. There's the HTML5 blank WordPress theme. Like there's so many different words for these things. People have, I think there's so many paths of them. There's I make it and then WordPress updates and I just don't really get around to like using the latest greatest ways, so it kind of just falls to the wayside, and then it's kind of dangerous because it kind of encourages some not so recent tactics, or it starts to be like, well, you know what, I'm just going to throw in grunt to this thing, and you know what, while we're at it, I'm going to throw in this and this and this, and then it grows up into this thing that really is, it has a different purpose than its original thing, which was just a blank theme. You know? It's funny how things develop like that. That's an incomplete thought that I have, but it feels like, you know, think piece territory.
What I'm doing, I'm just like looking at all these on GitHub, which is cool now because like there's GitHub, most everything's on GitHub, but I like just go into the header .php file or like the single or the page .php file, and I see if I like it. You know, like you can like look at the code and be like, yeah, I would code like that. But if I don't like it, then it's like, peace out. dumb site, dumb theme. I'm not going to use you.
There's a lot of page builder, I don't know if I should call them themes or plugins that you can kind of drag and drop, but that kind of gets messy too if you ever want to change the theme. But it is one idea for a solution. If you just don't want to deal with a lot of code, you can do something like one of the page builder ones.
Yeah. It's so funny, you know. And then, you know, don't forget that WordPress isn't the only CMS in the world too. We've had,
what do you mean?
We just had the
Chris, Perch, please explain.
Oh, I do love Perch too. It's really nice for front end editing. At least the one I used back in 2009 was amazing. And I know they have that new Runway project now. So I thought I would check that out too.
Cool. Speaking of a slightly different subject, ba-doom boom, time to play the theme song, not theme song music, but sponsorship music. The Environments for Humans have their SVG Summit coming up. That's svgsummit.com. It's coming up January 21st in Central Time, where me and Dave and Stacy live. Here's your greater Chicago area, right?
Yes.
We're all Central Time Zone people. It's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, but, you know, that translates pretty well to both coasts, and even the UK, really, I think is largely doable, I think. Anyway, but even if you gotta buy tickets, and even if, like, for example, you missed the entire thing, no big deal, because you get all the recordings of the thing, which you can kind of play back in real time and even see the Q&A and all that stuff. It's pretty interesting, but it's one day online conference. Ryan Ireland, Brenda Storr, Clark Wimberly, Sarah Drasner, Dudley Story, Chris Gannon. Man, you should see Chris Gannon's work on CodePen. He's like insane with like really super cool, tasteful, interactive, animated SVG. So is Sarah Drasner, of course. I'm going to close it up with some kind of something, you know. SVG is pretty passionate topic of mine as well. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Check out svgsummit.com. It's going to be awesome. Let's do one or two more if we can possibly fit them in here. Mandy Thompson writes in, I just started my second career as a front-end dev in April. I work for a very fast-paced digital advertising firm, and I'm finding that my biggest challenge is time management. I often find myself fussing over small design deals, refactoring code to do things the right way, or just spending too long trying to find something out. Do you have any tips for working more effectively and efficiently? I thought this would be interesting for you, Stacey, because you are, you know, you're a practitioner and now manager. So how do you like avoid getting trapped into little things, or is it okay to be trapped?
No, I often have that issue of running out of time. And what I will always tell my developers is to make sure that the absolute base items are done, because if we have to launch something tomorrow and we spent all of our time on making a menu icon twist a certain way when it's open versus closed, then you're going to have just a menu icon on that site. So if you can really focus on just getting the basics, that will help you kind of reframe your priorities. Also, having a little checklist of all the, like if you have one page to build out, like have a checklist of all these interior elements that you'll make. So you build from the inside out, I think is going to help a lot, and it's going to help keep it very scalable so you can start to reuse that code. As far as time management goes, it's a tricky thing to just stay focused, but refactoring code, you will always want to leave code cleaner than when you found it originally, if there is a time to do that. But sometimes a project, you just don't have time. So it's better to be consistent in some cases, and then document that code needs to be refactored so that you can revisit it later after the project has launched. But make sure that that's written somewhere that everyone can refer to, that that's an issue. Otherwise, those type of things get forgotten.
Mm. Do you think that I mean, like that a great like project manager or any other kind of manager, is it their responsibility to help keep Mandy on task too, or not really? Is it totally on yourself?
I love great project managers, the ones that tell you, hey, you got this due today. It's just a reminder, even though your calendar probably has it. It's just amazing how big a difference a project manager can make. And little things, like if they create issues for you and post links to the issue instead of saying on the about page, and you're like, oh, crap, what's the dev site? Where's the about page? Like mm-hmm. having the screenshot there, having the link or a link to the issue or any way that a project manager can do that is tremendously helpful. And yes, can take all of those little things off your plate so you can focus on just fixing what you need to do. As far as refactoring code or trying to figure something out, she said she sometimes spends a lot of time trying to figure something out. I don't know how big of a team you have there, but a lot of times if you're stuck on something for more than say 20-30 minutes, I would definitely reach out to someone else in your department. And if you're like the front end developer, then definitely make some contacts, go to some meetup groups, something to be able to bounce these things off of someone else, because you will learn so much if you have this collaborative environment where your team can share ideas and offer help.
Yeah, that's sage advice. The self-identifying that you're in a blocker state is not always easy anyway, because sometimes it's just, you know, you're like, I'm spinning my wheels, but I'm going to get this, you know, and then you lose a whole day. Although, you know, this is at odds with, because Mandy, the way you worded this was, I find myself fussing over small design deals or details or refactoring code. You'd hate to tell somebody who is so, you know, kind of detail focused and who's, you know, doing really interesting small things well, to be like, no, stop, work on the about page or whatever it is. It seems like, you know, a great design can use some fussing over small design details sometimes. Not to detriment of the entire project, but I hate to tell someone that is into refactoring code to stop, please, because we.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta make time for those things.
Maybe it's a bigger issue with the timelines, and maybe the people who are creating the timelines aren't aware that that's an issue. And sometimes people don't speak up about these things too. So a little communication maybe can go a long way as far as how to plan for the project appropriately and setting expectations. I love small attention to detail on things. I'm very design oriented. So I don't say, you know, don't ever make this better. I'm just saying you got to at least have something to launch with if time is an issue. But yeah, probably a bigger issue is if you keep running out of time on every project, then your timelines have to shift or you have to provide more resources for the project.
Full advice. We have time for one more, maybe. Dave, there's this anonymous one at the end. You know, I don't know that we've really had a stance on this at CoPIM or at Chop Talk, but I have no particular problem with anonymous questions, I guess. I mean, if it's a good question, it's a good question. If you don't want your name read on air, I guess I have no problem with that. Somebody asked about that the other day. So this one is from an anonymous person.
We are anonymous. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. I work on a team with 20 non-technical people in the nonprofit space, but it's a wing of a large corporation with 20,000 employees, which we leverage sometimes for extra resources. Myself and one other person handle all technical support and development for this team in our cause. One of my many responsibilities is to develop and support anything web-based, which is great because that's been my passion since building the first website in the first days of GeoCities and Tripod. Here's the problem, though. We have a designer on our team. Uh-oh, here it goes. I need my spooky sound effect, a print graphic designer by trade and has no training in interaction design, but wants to own everything with the brand that she has created 5+ years ago, which is incredibly vanilla and rigid. Their emails. This person emails me desktop mockups in Photoshop and says, "Put this on the web." The mockups are not. Are almost impossible to make responsive and give no consideration to web standards or performance. I try to teach and explain why certain designs will not work on the web, but if it doesn't look exactly the same as their Apple's Retina Cinema display on Safari, then it's wrong. Management sits on the fence about who owns what because they don't want to ruffle any feathers, but they also do not have the expertise in the area to understand the importance. It drives me mad that I can't have good working relationship with and work together to build awesome websites. Can you give any advice from previous experience on how you would approach this situation? Cheers.
Wow. Well, I've run into those situations, and it's awesome when a designer learns to code because they understand all of these little details that I would say if I see a mock-up and I see something that I know is going to take me 20 hours as opposed to offering a new solution that would take one, you go to the designer and say, listen, I can do this, but it's going to take X amount longer than it would to do this. And this is good for XYZ reasons. It's more mobile friendly. It has a accessibility angle, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard to, if you're at the same level as the designer, as far as like hierarchy in your organization, it's like hard to say like who's right because design is so subjective, but there are certain things that aren't subjective. If it is an accessibility issue, if it's usability there, I love how
that's great. Focus on those non-subjective things.
Yeah. And I love Gina Bolton's talk at CSS DevConf, which they, company or their design department set these like four criteria on how to make these decisions. So it kind of takes any of the personal like tie into how they feel about a design. And you look at this chart and it's like, is it clear? Is it consistent? Is it going to be more usable? There's these things that they look at and say, okay, which one's our priority if we're looking at a certain issue? And clarity always comes before visual. So if it's going to make something more clear, like a form button or something a certain way, then we go with clarity and whoever, you know, whatever, whether it's a designer, the front end developer who's suggesting that, that's the way it goes. And I love that approach to problem solving because then it's not anyone's personal feelings. You have these design principles that you stick to.
That's amazing. Yes. It doesn't it kind of have this feel that like that's not working? I mean, it sounds like Anand is pretty annoyed.
I have not tried that. Yeah, I think that there might be a larger issue within this organization. And it's unfortunate that no one can step in and kind of make these decisions to help facilitate the discussion so that not everybody just thinks they're right. But I mean, you're the one pushing code. I'm not saying you have the ability to override that person, but I don't know. Have you shown them the other idea? It's kind of hard to say, like, to solve that specific situation. But creating a style guide for a project also helps with that because then everyone can get on the same, visual language. They use the same language for naming these components and whatnot. And maybe it's time for a refresh. You said the brand was developed 5 years ago. That's kind of a long time without adding some new styles to your panel of, you know, usable items that you can use on projects. That's a really tricky situation. Usually it comes down to communication and just providing the pros and cons of each of these decisions. And I've not run into a huge problem where everyone is completely disagreeing and can't work it out. There might be compromises, but if whoever provides the better rationale, usually people can see that if you present a case for it. And if you're really unhappy, there's a lot of jobs out there. I think there's a job board on this website here.
Yeah.
Show.com.
There sure is. This is pitched as a very you versus them situation. And if that's how it feels, and it feels like you've tried to take this, like even the teaching angle, which is the way chill angle to this thing. So you've already said, hey, management doesn't help and my teaching doesn't help. And I'm obviously annoyed with this situation and I'm in this powerless situation where my job is to just do whatever they say. It sounds like you're like totally annoyed with this and it's not a good place for you. I'd hate to just be like, oh, just quit your job. But it sounds like, I don't know, you've tried a bunch of stuff and you don't like them. You can just read between the lines here. You don't like this person. So now you're working with somebody you don't even like. That sucks, you know. Fortunately, not everybody has this the case. It's never the easiest thing in the world to just up and leave your job. But I think you should know that, you know, front-end developers are pretty in demand these days. And if you have some flexibility in your life, just put some feelers out there. See what's going on. It's not inconceivable that you could find something better, make more money, work with people that you like more. And I would say when you go interview at the place, you know, they're like, hey, why are you leaving? It's definitely going to come up in the interview and be like, you know what? I really love web design. I really love making things work on the web. But I was working with somebody who didn't necessarily share that. They didn't feel flexible. It didn't feel like a team. And I want to work for a team. I'm sure anybody would eat that up. You know, anyway, that's just theoretical. Now I've probably taken this too far. But indeed, there is shoptalkshow.com/jobs, which is, you know, largely front-end development jobs available. And there's always all kinds of good stuff on there. Highly encourage you to use that. What else do you got, Dave? Do you have a wrap-up spiel for us?
I mean, I've been in this situation, and it's tough. It's like you end up kind of, the way I describe it is coding somebody's bad decisions, and that's never fun. And I've seen this happen too, you know, and like the thing is like people try to like be like, well, I'm going to put myself in front of everything. So where like all design decisions have to get engineering checked, and that's just not really, that's not it. But I do think you have to get yourself out from the waterfall where it's like, hey, code this, you monkey, you know, that's just not healthy. That's really divisive. It's not teamwork, you know? And it could just be like putting your desk by their desk and, you know, maybe you have a big obnoxious device lab that you test on, you know, just so like, and it's always up there and it always looks bad, you know, like, you know, it just kind of raising awareness that this is what you're thinking about, versus just like a cinema display, because that cinema display is a lie. It's a trap, you know, like, where we all design on them, and I have a 34 inch wide monitor right now. It's beautiful, but we all design on the huge monitors, but like the majority of traffic is now tipping to mobile. So like, if we're not thinking about that, like that's an organizational problem, and maybe you have to raise that. Like maybe you have to raise the mobile first banner and be a squeaky wheel about that, but that's tough. But it sounds like, if you know, some working relationships, it's like, do you repair it or do you not? You know, they get better with time, but maybe it's not worth it. Or maybe you ask the company to hire a true web designer, because it's just your workload. Maybe you can demonstrate is like Stacy said, you're like, this has JavaScript, this component has JavaScript, so it takes 2 weeks to code out. So could we not do that anymore? That would be like huge value to your company, right? So if you could just get somebody who understands web and what's necessary, that would also probably save your company a bunch of money. So,
and maybe introduce,
go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe introduce some concept of like element collages. I know they said that there was this problem of receiving these beautiful homepage mock-up or desktop sized mock-ups that are pixel perfect. Maybe they haven't seen some of the new ways of doing design, and maybe like introduce that, maybe have a weekly session where you do more teaching and not just teaching like this CSS does this, but like some of the methodologies that show style tiles and element collages. And I think there's videos of, was it Jonathan Snook doing a video, a dev and designer type video where they showed how they work together. And maybe you guys can kind of go back and forth each week with learning the other person's side or just new techniques to smooth out that entire process. If you do like your company and you don't want a new job, maybe some weekly effort is necessary.
Yeah. I need like an upgrade sound effect that's just like upgrade. Upgrade.
Like just, well, you just got it.
Yeah, there it is. You need to upgrade that job. Treat yourself. Move on. Or do the hard work and I don't know. I'm not help here. All right. Hey, here we go. It's the end of the show, I think. Stacy, so thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate your time. It's good talking, but how can people follow you and give you money if they're not doing that already? And then what's one thing you'd like to plug before you leave?
Well, you can follow me at twitter.com/ Stacy Cavernmo. The whole name, I think. Give me money. You know, I've switched to Bing as my primary search because Bing pays me money. So if you're interested in getting rewards for every search you do, let me know on Twitter and I can send you a link, and then that will provide me even more credits.
I know this trick. I'm on the Bing.
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
Oh, I often have to Bing.
It's paying for my Xbox Live. It's wonderful.
Exactly. I've gotten like seven $5 gift cards to Amazon. So
see?
Worth it. I often have Free to Bing Google, though, because sometimes they have better development results. But
I know. Yeah. Occasionally it's like, I think you're not telling me everything there is, Mr. Bing. So I'm going to go ask your friend Google. So, All right. Well, great. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And thank you, podcast listener, for downloading this in your podcast of choice. Be sure to vote it up. Star heart. Share it with your friends. That's how people find out about the show. And that's how we know how we're doing. And so we really appreciate it. If you hate your job, head over to shoptalkshow.com/jobs and get a new job. We are wrapping up a final season, this season. We're wrapping up this season, so we're going to take a couple weeks off. Don't worry, we'll be back in the new year with some great shows. We're rapidly approaching episode 200, which is going to be an extravaganza, and I think we're actually going to, not for that episode, Chris, but we're going to do a thing where you can vote who comes back on the show, which guest from the past comes back on the show. So let us know, and we will, we're going to do a little form. So watch out for that on Twitter at Shop Talk Show. And Chris, I've said too many things. You got anything else you'd like to say?
ShopTalkShow.com.
Upgrade.